Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I, of course, am the Big Jack, and with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so you can swing on over there and check that out. But, you know, you should randomly make visits over there because you just never know what the heck is going to pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. Again, we still don't understand why Mr. Fantasy doesn't, but I think we've given up trying to figure that one out. Don't forget, though, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right, Dan. Well, stupidly, I guess you would call it relatively decent luck on FanDuel. I wasn't winning big, huge money. But, you know, I was winning, you know, I was betting a buck and winning, you know, $2 here or $2.50 there. So I was at least making money. Yesterday, my lineup just completely tanked. It was just one of those things. And I decided for the first time ever to play two games in one day. So I was looking at the late night setup and I thought, oh, no problem. This is a real simple, easy moneymaker because Babe Ruth is pitching for the Angels, so I'll plug him in and build a lineup around him. Well, the great Babe Ruth got me exactly zero freaking FanDuel points because he sucked. Oddly, though, Dan, I haven't heard anybody mention that. He was average against the A's in his first start, and then he had that phenomenal start his second time out. Dan, do you know the A's are a sub-500 team? But last night he faced the Red Sox, who, oh, they're 12 games over 500. So what happened to the D-bag when he had to step up against competition? He got lit up. All right, bottom line. So stick the Cy Young where it doesn't shine. Maybe he'll hang on and win Rookie of the Year. He's not going to be MVP. All right, you can blow out all that stuff out your butt. I know you got the excuse now. I'm going to hear, well, he developed a blister. That was such a made-up story, it wasn't even funny, because the first two articles I read about it, Dan, they didn't even know what finger the blister was on. They could only say right hand. All right, I got a blister on my ass from sitting in this chair doing this podcast for 6 years. All right, you want to see it? I'll gladly show it to you. So, you know, can we get over this incredible fascination with this fun stuff, and let's see him pitch a full season and beat some quality teams and, all that before, you know, Brian Kenny jerks off on television again about him, because it's really just ridiculous. I can't deal with the BS. So there you go. That's how my night went last night, Dan. How was yours?
I didn't do the late night lineup, but Javi Baez gave me one home run.
Yay, Dan Homer, I got squat. So, you know, just how it goes. And now, Dan, I heard a rumor today. I don't know if this is true or not. I heard that Anthony Rizzo went out onto Wrigley Field with his own personal thermometer, decided it was too cold out, and called Rob Manfred and had him cancel the game. True or false?
Oh, false.
Oh, I don't know. I think that was from some pretty reliable sources. So, you know, I believe that was definitely a possibility there that, you know, he was out there standing at first base, you know, holding his thermometer, or maybe he was just holding his cell phone so he could do, you know, two things at once. And he, you know, he called Rob because they're on a first name basis and said, you know, it's cold in Chicago today, Rob. We probably shouldn't play. Can you cancel the game? So that's what happened. So the Cubs didn't play. But they're going to make it up tomorrow. So you'll be happy to know that.
Yeah. Maybe you just need an extra day off to bend over to the back and loosen up.
Yes. Well, maybe Ben Zobrist slept on the same mattress Anthony Rizzo did, and, you know, they just didn't work things out. So, you know, just one of those things. But, you know, since the Cubs couldn't handle playing, we did have four games that are already in the books. The Brewers shut out the Reds again 2-0. I believe that was the score of last night's game. Zach Davies got the win. Tyler Mahle took the loss, and Jacob Barnes got a save there for Milwaukee. The Rays beat the Rangers 4-2. Jacob Faria picked up a win. Cole Hamels took a loss, and Alex Colome got a save there. The Tigers beat the Orioles. I believe Dixon Machado hit a walk-off home run in that one. Shane Green, or it was 6-5. Shane Green ended up getting the win, and Pedro Arroyo ended up taking the loss. I'm sure I butchered that name. The Pirates keep rolling. Dan, they beat the Rockies 10-2. Chad Kuhl got the win, and Kyle Freeland took the loss there. We do have a couple games rolling along. Let me see here. It looks like the Sox are doing everything they can to try to give away the 9-run lead they had earlier. They are up 10-8 on the Athletics, but that game's only in the bottom of the sixth, so stay tuned there. And the Blue Jays are beating the Royals again 9-5. That game's in the top of the eighth inning. So there you go. You're all caught up on what has actually happened. We do have some games that'll get rolling here. You know, the Indians are technically they're at the Twins, even though the game is being played in Puerto Rico. It's Carlos Carrasco and Jose Berrios making the start there. The Nationals are at the Mets. It's Tanner Roark against Steven Matz. The Phillies at the Braves. Vince Velasquez against Brandon McCarthy. The Giants at the Diamondbacks. Chris Stratton against Robbie Ray. The Red Sox at the Angels. Rick Porcello against Tyler Skaggs. The Astros at the Mariners. Garrett Cole against Mike Leake. And the night wraps up with the Dodgers at the Padres. Kenta Maeda against Luis Perdomo. So there you go, Dan. There's your setup. By the way, the Indians Twins game is the Mickey Mouse Network game of the night. So
is that because it's in Puerto Rico? Or?
Yeah, of course. So you know, I'm trying to remember. I think they showed last night's game as well. So. Just one of those things. You know, I know something that will affect somebody in our fantasy leagues. The Twins put Byron Buxton on the DL. He apparently is suffering from migraines too, just like Brandon Drury of the Yankees was. The Braves put Anibal Sanchez on the DL because really the only team he can pitch well against is the Cubs, so they don't need him against anybody else. They just got to wait for that series to come around. And then I don't know if you saw this one, Dan, not that it was a corresponding move or anything, but the Braves also signed Jose Bautista, and they're going to play him at third base in the minors. How do you like them apples?
Joey Babb?
Yeah. You know, originally he was a third baseman back in the day with the Pirates, but he sucked so bad they moved him to the outfield. So...
I mean, I picked up Annabelle so I can get the start on Friday. Oh, that sucks.
Not going to happen. Unless you got it last Friday. Do we see Jose Bautista in the majors in a Braves uniform, Dan? Or is this just kind of a, you know, they're kind of filling a roster spot and taking a look? I mean, he is 37. You know, I honestly don't believe he has a whole lot left to offer. You know, he hit 203 last year. He did play 157 games, so he was healthy, but 203 with 23 bombs, you know, that's way down from, you know, career high of 54. And, you know, he had 40 just way back, you know, back in 2015. I don't know. Is it over? What do you think?
I think maybe he should have taken a hometown deal.
Yeah, probably, huh? And just to fill you in a little bit, Dan, he has played 394 career games at third base. It's actually covered 3,094 and a third innings. He's got a fielding percentage of 9.59. He's made 43 errors in those almost 400 games. So maybe he's not quite the butcher I made him out to be, but he's not winning a Gold Glove at third base.
What does their lineup look like these days?
The Braves?
Well, yeah. That's the team he's on, right?
Well, I wasn't sure. Well, you know, I thought maybe you wanted to know, you know, why the Blue Jays didn't bring him back to replace Josh Donaldson at third base or something when he got hurt. Well, let me see. Who's playing third base for the Braves tonight? Maybe we can see how that will start there. Where is the Braves lineup? Come on, it better be released. There we go. It's Ryan Flaherty at third base tonight for the Braves, who's actually gotten off to a pretty good start. I don't know if they have a long-term plan or a long-term prospect or somebody there. So maybe there's an opening there. He can step up and fill in. They did just bring Camargo off the DL. I don't know if he would be a guy to take that spot.
I didn't know that was a rhetorical question.
No, I was. I mean, I'm looking here to see if they have any infield. They do have their number 9 prospect as a third baseman by the name of Austin Riley. Let's see. It looks like he was in Double A for about 50 games last season. He's 21. Their number 12 rated prospect is Travis DeMeetwright, who's 23, and he spent last year in Double A as well. He's a second baseman, third baseman. So they have a couple of, you know, guys just kind of maybe on the cusp of being ready to come up. But yeah, other than that, I don't know. I'm assuming Camargo takes over the spot now that he's back and healthy, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, if Bautista's playing third base, is that just kind of getting him some work just in case? And maybe he could be in the outfield. I know they have Inciarte in center. I forget who's in the corners. They don't have Nick Markakis, do they?
Yeah, they still have Markakis and then Preston Tucker. Yeah, Preston Tucker's been getting a lot of time in left field. And he's actually been producing. You know, he was an Astro prospect that they just didn't, you know, have any room for. But he's been pretty solid with the Braves so far. He's played in 16 games. He's hit .283 with 3 bombs and 13 ribbies. So he's doing okay, you know, for whatever reason. And it's kind of odd. Why do you think Inciarte is struggling so much? I mean, he's only hit .215 out of the gate. And, you know, I think we both know he's a much better hitter than that. Is the cold weather getting to him, Dan? Is that what it is?
That's what I was going to say.
Dansby Swanson,
but they're playing pretty well. So.
Yeah, you know, Dansby Swanson came out of the gate really well after just being a gigantic bust last year. Flaherty, who's been filling in at third base, is hitting .354, but he's never been much of a power guy with career, but you know, you can kind of work around that. I know they've been using Charlie Culberson over there as well, but he's off to a really slow start. So yeah, like I said, I would guess Camargo is the guy who comes up and, you know, fills in. I mean, I don't know, you know, if you got a guy hitting .354 though, Dan, don't you run with him at this point?
Yeah, I would keep going with him.
So, you know, we'll have to see how that works out or what the Braves do. They're also, I mistakenly forgot to tell you, Dan, that they are playing Lane Adams in left field quite a bit. So, you know, he's getting his time, but he's only hitting about 250. So, Tucker is the guy who's really kind of stepped up there. But yeah, I don't know. Did you tell me? Are we going to see him in a Braves uniform to take the major leagues? You got Joey Betts coming up and hanging out with this team.
I think so. I mean, why even bother giving him a look?
Well, you know, they did the same thing with Ryan Howard last year, and he was never brought up. So
yeah, that's true. Well, you know, it's kind of like Tampa Bay with Christian Arroyo.
Yes. Is he still in the minors there? They never did bring him up to start the season, did they?
No, they didn't.
So, yeah, you wonder if or when we'll see him. I know Duffy got hurt the other day. It might have been yesterday. So maybe he's the call-up that fills the role, but, you know, who knows what they're, you know, they're probably saving his arbitration year or something. No one knows, you know, those deals. So we'll have to see, that was disappointing. I thought he would be a starter there this year coming out of the gate with that team, in the situation it is.
I thought that was one of the bigger reasons they brought him over.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, he's been a...
I guess you can only have so many Giants, former Giants, play third base for you, though, right?
Yeah, you know, but he can also play short. You know, I mean, it's not like... You couldn't have moved or bounced some guys around here with this team. I mean, for some reason, for whatever it is, they seem to be strapped to Brad Miller, and I haven't quite understood that. But you know, that's just kind of how it's been for them. But they should have dumped him when he was hitting all those power numbers and dropped somebody, because he's off to this team as a whole is off to a terrible start, with the exception of Malik Smith is hit, CJ Krohn's doing okay, and Duffy is kind of solid out of the box at 267. Everybody else is just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever. So, you know, and I know they just lost Kiermaier for, what was it, 8 to 12 weeks with a thumb or something. You know, we'll have to see how.
Well, and don't forget, Souza is on the DL too.
Yeah, but Souza plays for the Diamondbacks now. They traded him.
I thought he was still with the Rays.
No. They dumped him for, I don't even remember what they got for him, but they dumped him for somebody. So.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's so hard for Yahoo to, you know, just update their photo.
Yeah. you know, what's weird is everybody is like that. You know, it takes Baseball Reference forever, and, you know, FanDuel's the same way. You know, guys will stay, you know, in that uniform all year for whatever reason. So.
Well, I mean, because I think Bernard's fans still wearing a Nationals hat.
Yeah, probably. So, you know, that wouldn't surprise me. After he spent how many years with the Giants, they would still have him on the Nationals. So, I wanted to see, while we were talking about Arroyo, has he started in AAA yet? I assume he's in AAA, right? Yeah, he's got 7 games under his belt. He's a Durham, Dan. He's a Durham Bull. I'm guessing Crash Davis probably isn't on the team anymore, though. He's 7 games. What do we got? 25 at-bats. He's only hit 200. So he's off to a bit of a sluggish start, but again, it's 7 games. So, and he is, it looks like he's playing, majority of time, he's played 4 games at third and 1 game at short. So, but he is only 22, so I guess there's not a gigantic hurry to get him up. I don't know. You know the other weird thing, Dan. You know, the one thing that's so weird with baseball about me while we were talking about the Rays. You know, Carlos Gomez was a guy. You know, when he was in a Brewer uniform, this guy was an MVP candidate. How did it all kind of go away so fast on him? He's hitting .162 through 17 games with the Rays. I think he's him and CJ Cron are the only guy who's played in every game. I mean, it just kind of disappeared on this guy. And it's just odd how a skill set does that. You know, I remember, you know, going back to the Brewers, you know, in 2013, 2014, you know, there were people talking about him as an MVP candidate. You know, they shipped him off to the Astros and it just kind of crashed and burned. It got so bad, I think they ended up releasing him. He kind of revived it. Texas picked him up in 2016. But, you know, they brought him back last year. You know, he played 100-plus games. He only hit .255. You know, Tampa's taking a look at him this year, and he's just off to a terrible start. He's all of 32, Dan, but it really looks like his better days are behind him. I mean, where the hell did it go with Carlos Gomez?
it went out the door.
Yeah. So just, you know, and baseball's that one, you know, kind of weird sport like that. It just seems where, you know, one day you're there and it's gone.
Not totally, because, I mean, you think about the NFL and, you know, aside from the issues that Adrian Peterson had with the family and the stitch and all that stuff, I mean, he went from seemingly going to be hands-down Hall of Famer, greatest running back ever to play the game, to just kind of bouncing around and, you know, in the same situation where he was with Phoenix and they just let him go. And he was kind of the second option in New Orleans last year.
Second, I think he was the third. So, just so you know, Dan Arroyo is the Rays' fourth rated prospect. But two of the pitchers that are on their list also have Tommy John, and they're out for the season. So maybe they could update this list a little bit here.
So. Yeah. So technically, he's like the number one, number two.
Yeah, you know, that would move him up a slot or two there. So, you know, not only Arroyo, you know, one of the other guys we're kind of waiting for that everybody was talking about was, you know, Willie Adams was a prospect that a lot of people thought was going to make the Rays opening day roster. He's just 22, but he spent all last year in AAA. You know, he had .277 with Durham last year, and you just kind of wonder, you know, what are they waiting for here? You know, with some of these guys, you know, it's not doing them any good to just kind of repeat the process in the minors. You know, it's time to kind of step up and give them the shot full time here and see what's kind of going on. I mean, if they're under the delusion that they're going into the playoffs, I think they may have made a mistake there, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe they're in some kind of weird rebuild where they're just trying to stockpile the farm so that they can help make it more attractive to go to Montreal.
Yeah, it's possible. You know, I mean, they're doing something that I don't quite understand. So, I guess we'll have to stay tuned and see if Chris Archer is part of it or if he finally ends up going someplace else. So,
down in Miami when Starling went to Miami and then wanted to be traded immediately, but then took it back and was like, oh, it's okay. You know, our Archer was kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, so. All right, Dan, since, you know, we have our very important fantasy stuff going on, I found what they call five players that have opened eyes in early April. So I want to know if your eyes are open to these five guys, all right? It looks like they start out with a couple pitchers. Are your eyes open, Dan, to Josh Hader of the Milwaukee Brewers? Are you on him? They like his 61% strikeout rate is what they're going with here. Are you buying him now as a big time reliever?
I wouldn't say big time, but I think he's definitely got the, you know, right now he's got the stuff, and if you were able to land him on your team, I think you're pretty lucky.
I'd have said he's got the look, but that's like a bad 80s reference to like a Roxette song or something, and I would probably be the only guy listening who would get that. So we will move on. We're going to stay in the bullpen, Dan. How about the Rockies setup man, Adam Ottavino, whose strikeout rate is 64.7%. You know, I think Wade Davis leads baseball in saves, or he's tied with baseball with, you know, like seven or something. You know, Ottavino, obviously one of those guys who's working the ball to him. So in our league, holds count. You like him? Does he keep going in Colorado, or is it just that ugly, ugly place to pitch?
I don't know. I think he's got some time, but, you know, it's like you've mentioned a million times where, what are we, 15, 16 games into the season?
Well, 17.
Well, I think it's 17. So, I mean, it's fun to open eyes, but, you know, how far does that really go?
Yes. Well, it means you can see them, right, if you have your eyes open. This one, Dan, this is probably a New York guy writing this article because he likes Brandon Nimmo. He thinks Brandon Nimmo has really opened some eyes. Of course, the problem is the Mets outfield consists of Jay Bruce, Michael Conforto, and that guy named that you like a whole lot. So I don't know or really think no matter what Nimmo does, there's a spot for him there. So I'm guessing, like I said, it was probably just a New York guy writing this article and wanted to throw a Met in here. So we'll kind of cruise past that. How about Rick Porcello, Dan? You got him?
No, I do have Nimmo, but I don't know if it's Nimmo because they keep saying Nimmo on that Mets game.
Yeah, I heard.
If they're trying to.
Oh, I heard Nimmo the other morning. So either or, we'll go with whatever they like to say. Like I said, Dan, are you buying Rick Porcello? You know, 2 years ago, I think he won 22 games in the American League Cy Young. Last year, he was poor. He's off to a better start this year. Are you buying? You buying him? He's the best pitcher in the American League now. You're all set and ready for him to take over and reclaim another Cy Young.
Well, I mean, you're wrong about one thing because he'd be the second best pitcher in the American League without a.
Yes, that's true. After Babe Ruth. Yes.
So I mean, you know, I think he's got some stuff left, but. I don't know if I tried picking him up on one of my teams, but I think he's definitely an option if you're looking for another pitcher.
You couldn't get him anyway. He was drafted in both our leagues with 20 deep. There's no way a pitcher like Porcello is around. And I'm guessing this guy ran out of ideas here. He couldn't come up with five guys who have opened eyes because the last one is incredibly stupid. Cleveland is baseball's most unfortunate hitting team. Yeah, I don't care. Bottom line, that's right. Well, you know, he wants to talk about how they have the worst average on balls in play at 234, but they have the second best hard hit rate. So it's all sabermetric BS that he's trying to work in, and I'm guessing he couldn't find good stats for another player. I don't know why he didn't include Ryan Flaherty or go to somebody like that. So just a tool bag. Yeah, tool bag way to bail on your article. Just kind of, yeah, you know, just kind of the way it goes with some guys. So, but of course, you know, Dan, in baseball, the other big thing they have since it's happening in New York, I got to ask you, is it time for Stanton to be down in the Yankees order? And are you man enough to come out right now after less than 20 games and say he's a complete bust? Come on, do it.
Say he's a complete bust.
Damn it.
Where is he batting anyways? Is he batting like leadoff, like idiotic?
batting third, he hits between Aaron Judge and Didi Gregorius, with Gary Sanchez hitting fifth most days.
Huh. You know, it's interesting because I think traditionally Didi Gregorius would never be the cleanup hitter, but that's why they got rid of Joe Girardi, because they wanted to put in this new age crap. But, you know, not even to knock Didi, but it's amazing when you go back kind of what, 3-4 years ago, he's always had the glove. He's always had that going for him. I never thought that the hitting would really just continue to improve over the years. But, you know, with Stanton being third, I mean, I still don't understand, you know, why he's up there. But I think, you know, you mentioned, and I watched the press conference today, and they should just move him down to the fifth spot.
Yeah, you know, it seems like it's a pretty simple thing to do. You know, give him a little bit of a break. You know, get the fans off his back a little bit. I mean, you know, Judge is really hitting well to start the season, but my guess is they're not going to want to move him out of that number two hole because he seems comfortable there, even though it's an incredibly stupid place for him to hit. Like, every lineup in baseball has that guy now, so this is nothing new. What I was actually thinking, Dan, maybe, you know, Sanchez is another guy who's off to a bit of a slow start. Maybe you plug him in the three spot between Didi and Judge and see if it gets him going?
Possibly, but, you know, traditionally I would think with a catcher, especially if he's not performing, he should be in the 6-7 spot. You can't tell me with that lineup, you can't move him down, or you don't have someone else to kind of maybe go in that lead off for that third, number three hole.
Well, remember, you know, they're a little, you know, they're not quite the powerhouse lineup that, you know, you kind of think when it comes to the Yankees after you get by that first kind of set of guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a little. Let me see if I can grab their game log from last night and see what their lineup looked like. I think they're off today, so there's no lineup there to look at today. So we'll see. Did they play last night? They didn't get rained out or anything, did they?
No, they ended up playing. And you know, I watched the press conference that Boone put out there, and he didn't really say anything. It's just anything worthwhile. Well, you know, and with MLB, they only show you a snippet of it, so you don't even get the full thing to kind of fast forward and pick out what maybe was really said. But I don't know. I mean, when you think about it, I forgot who you said leading off, but you got Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Didi Gregorius, and Gary Sanchez. You know, with the way Didi's been playing, yeah, he's been hitting the bombs lately, but, you know, I really don't peg him for a power hitter. I get him for more of a guy who gets on base and actually hits the ball more often than not. I think he would be more apt to either be leading off or in the two hole. And then you have Judge, Stanton, and Sanchez down that way.
Well, remember, Didi was a 25 homer guy last year, so he showed some power. Here's what they went with last night. You know, here's how it worked last night. Brett Gardner led off, Judge hit second, Stanton was third, Didi was four, Sanchez was five, Aaron Hicks was six, Neil Walker was seventh, and then it was Tyler Austin eighth and Miguel Andujar ninth. So,
I mean, I just don't understand why you put a bunch of quote power hitters in a lineup where what are they supposed to do? Just hit a home run and knock themselves in? You know, I guess it's pretty cool if Judge and Stanton hit home runs back to back, but so now you've got two runs. But what if the
In most cases, your guys do hit back to back like that, but it's in the three and four spot, not two and three.
Yeah.
So, you know, but, you know, and this was a lot of things. You know, the Marlins, I believe, ended up hitting Stanton second last year. And, yep. You know, obviously he won an MVP and things work really well. But, you know, Judge is raking in the two-hole now for the Yankees. So do you fiddle with that and swap them or – you know, just bump everybody up a spot. You know, I mean, Didi's hitting .333 this year. He does lead the team in home runs and RBIs. So do you just plug him in at three and, you know, move Stanton to six? You know, Sanchez goes five, Stanton goes six. Or, you know, do you even, you know, bump Aaron Hicks up a spot and make him the five hitter and drop Stanton to six? You know, how do you end up working that out?
I don't know. I'd really have to have all that in front of me to really look at, but you would think having Stanton batting in front of Didi would actually help him, because while you may not want to pitch to Stanton, do you really want to pitch to Didi now at this point?
Yeah, you know, yeah, at this point in time, I mean, yeah, I would much rather pitch to Stanton than Didi.
Mm-hmm.
So... you know, or, you know, Sanchez. I mean, Sanchez is actually worse than Stanton. He's just not striking out at the same rate. Sanchez is only hitting .190. You know, Stanton's at .197. So, you know, they're very similar. That's why I was wondering if maybe plugging Sanchez in that spot could kind of spark him. Because you would think, you know, he's going to see better pitches, because obviously you're going to be careful with Judge, and then with Didi behind him, you know, you don't want to mess with Didi. So, yeah, I was wondering if that could possibly be a plug in there to get Sanchez rolling. But, yeah, well, it could be tough with a catcher. They don't play every day.
Yeah, well, and the other side of things, too, is, you know, it's hard when, like, if you would watch and go on MLB.TV and watch some of that stuff, they actually, you know, they put the, you know, the press conferences with the coaches afterwards, or, you know, just the locker room or the office meetings, whatever you want to call it. You know, with Boone being a first year manager, you kind of get that sense of unsurety. And then when they're asking him questions, I mean, he can't say it, or he's not supposed to say it, but, you know, when the question is posed as to where, you know, he might move Stanton down in the lineup, he kind of, you know, let you know he might move him down a couple of spots. But, I mean, isn't the real answer, well, I got to check with my boss first before I can do anything? So while they've got the young hip – while they have the young hip coach who's supposed to be more relative to the younger crowd, is he really making any decisions without, you know, his hand being held?
Yeah, you do have to wonder, you know, where the decision-making kind of comes from. Mm-hmm. You know, how that works out. You know, this definitely could be a big decision for them. So,
you know, and with the way I was going to say the Yankees, because they are the Yankees, but the way the Red Sox are playing, and I know championships aren't won in April, but when the least likely candidate is performing the best and out of the names that were thrown, you know, out there, you know, this team, I think preseason went from winning the World Series to maybe holding that wild card spot and being lucky if they can get past that one card game. And I know that's pretty bold to throw out there, but the guys that you're expecting to be up there really aren't performing at the level they are. And while we may see record home run numbers between Stanton and Judge, we're also going to see record strikeout numbers. And in previous World Series champions, I mean, you kind of broke it down a couple seasons ago. You know, the teams that were going to the championships weren't striking out as much.
Well, now, you know, the fear, you know, even though it's this early in his Yankee career, don't you have to kind of start to look already as maybe Stanton's one of those guys who can't perform in New York? You know, like I remember the issues a guy like Randy Johnson had who obviously, you know, Hall of Famer, you know, going to go down as one of the, you know, the best pitchers of all time. You know, when he went to the Yankees, he had his issues. Could Stanton possibly fall into that category where, you know, the stage is just too big for him here?
I was going to say that. I mean, but it's break time, so elaborate.
So, you know, just, I don't know. I kind of elaborated. I was hoping for Dan's answer. but we can, you know, we can jump on, you know, like I mentioned to you, I took a beating last night in FanDuel. So I went to a different strategy today. I spent a lot of money up front on some, I guess you'd call bigger name players. And then I kind of filled my roster around them with guys whose matchups I liked here and there. So let me tell you what I ended up rolling out with tonight. Let me make sure I pull the right thing up here. So I've got the damn thing here. All right. I ended up with Robbie Ray as my starting pitcher. He went for $9,500. He was one of my bigger purchases. Obviously pitchers, you know, they all cost money. Freddie Freeman is my next guy. He was another guy I paid big money for, $4,600. He's hitting third for the Braves tonight against the Phillies. Then I had to really go into kind of conservation mode and try to save some money here. I went with Carlos Asuja. I know I can never pronounce that right, of the Padres at second base, $2,100. He's hitting sixth tonight. Daniel Descalzo of the Diamondbacks is my third baseman. $2,000. He's hitting fifth for them tonight. Ahmed Rosario of the Mets rounds out my infield. He's $2,400. He's hitting ninth for them tonight. Some big money in the outfield here tonight. Mike Trout going against the Red Sox, $5,300, plugging him in there. Then I went with Bradley Zimmer of the Indians for $2,100. He's hitting ninth in their lineup tonight. My last outfielder is Michael Taylor of the Nationals, $2,700. He's hitting sixth for them tonight. And my utility guy is Cody Bellinger for $4,100. So it works out. I have Robbie Ray pitching, Freddie Freeman in that catcher first base area, Carlos Asuja at second, Daniel Descalzo at third, Ahmed Rosario at short, Mike Trout, Bradley Zimmer, and Michael A. Taylor in the outfield. And Cody Bellinger is my utility guy. So we'll see how that works out tonight. You know, I'm really distraught with the home run challenge. So I ended up going with Nelson Cruz, Mike Trout, and Paul Goldschmidt just because I decided to go with main guys tonight and couldn't deal with the fact that I stink at this and I can't pick guys who can hit home runs. So we'll see how it goes tonight.
Yeah, neither can I. I went with Trout and then somebody else and somebody else. Bestrubel,
yeah,
Cabrera.
It's weird
because
I keep thinking it's going to be simple and easy, and I'm like, oh yeah, no problem. You know, this guy will hit a bomb tonight, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, no dice. So.
Yeah. But to go back to your question, number one, I think you need to set an alarm for yourself around 10 after 6. But you know, the stage might be too big and he's coming from a place where he wasn't really getting any attention, you know, and fans didn't go to the games.
Yeah. Well, on the plus side though, there was nobody at the Yankee game last night. I saw highlights of that. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, and if Anthony Rizzo really wanted to make a case for, you know, a later start or less games or whatever. I mean, I don't know if he went to college or not, but maybe he can hire someone to do a survey on how much money is being lost for the owners. That's the only way where there's any going to be any kind of change. I mean, the one guy I work with just sucks, and I told my boss he sucks, but what did that really change? Nothing, because it's just the way it is.
Yeah. Oh, no, that happens at my job all the time. Most of the people there suck at their job, but there's nothing you can do about it. Well, you know, the thing is, I don't know if you've seen how many mainstream media things have now jumped on this Anthony Rizzo story. Every show I watched on the Mickey Mouse Network today said something about it.
Well, it's because
there's basketball playoffs, hockey playoffs. I mean, there's actually a lot of stuff, kind of going on, right now, and especially at the Mickey Mouse Network. I mean, they're the home of the NBA playoffs. So, you would think they would be their focus.
They only highlight stories that are more negative light. Only thing that would prompt them to put a story over Anthony Rizzo's story would be if Steve Kerr said something about LeBron James. Then we wouldn't hear anything about baseball. And number two, we both know they're not allowed to talk about the hockey NHL playoffs.
Yeah, they do make passing mention.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about all you get there. So.
But, the fact that everything's on NBC, Disney doesn't like that.
Yes. So, just one of those fun things. So, but yeah, it was quite surprising, and of course, being the mainstream media and guys who cover baseball, they of course want less games and faster games, so they don't have to work as much, because that's really, as you and I both know, the driving force behind this.
Oh yeah.
Because there's nothing wrong with the game; it's the media themselves that have issues with the game. So.
Well, I mean, if they're that hard up on it, I don't know if they have PlayStation or Xbox One. You can go out and buy the new RBI baseball and get all the action in a 3-inning game, because that's what they're advertising now.
So yeah, that's just kind of humorous when I start to talk about this, is it's always just so personally motivated. I mean, yeah, I guess I would like to work shorter days and make the same money too, but that's not gonna happen. So. Just kind of how it goes.
I mean, but I know a lot of people cross cover sports and such, but and that's one of the things that always kind of I laugh at too, is a local guy here, Bruce Levine, even Jesse Rogers, where he only covers the Cubs. You really never hear them talk much about it or complain about it or even really reference the pace of play crap. Bruce Levine hosts a show every Saturday throughout the entire year. But when you think about it, if you're a beat reporter and you're covering these games, if you're just a baseball game, you're working your butt off for what, 6 months? I don't know how hard they're working in spring training. I know they go out there, but
yeah.
Especially the guys, the guys from the Midwest, I'm sure it's so horrible to leave this weather to go hang out in Arizona for a month. I'm sure they're complaining about it. Aside from that, going from the opening day to the, let's just go the end of the season and first weekend of October or whatever. Yeah, they're working their asses off for, 6 months roughly. But, if your team makes it in the playoffs, you're going to spend a little bit more time. But the playoffs definitely generates a lot more excitement. And with baseball playoffs, at least you're not in the NBA where you're covering playoffs for 3 months, it seems like. So you've literally go into the playoffs and there's roughly a month of baseball playoffs. So yeah, it's extended, but I think they even get caught up in all the excitement of it, where I think there's less of an issue working the playoff games. But and then you have the rest of the half year to just kind of sit at home and tweet and write your articles from home. I don't know if you have to go into the office. I'm sure the guys, I don't know. I mean, because, here in the city, the radio, or what do we call those things again? Oh, yeah. Newspapers they've all been consolidated by, you know, into one company, and they all just keep getting smashed into one. But I don't even know why we have separate newspapers anymore, because they're all owned by the same person. And I don't even believe they really have offices anymore, except for salespeople.
Yeah, you know, I think the only one I know who buys a newspaper is Schomburg Stew.
Schomburg Stew.
I don't know anybody else. Yeah, who actually actually will buy a newspaper. So.
No, and you know, my dad and I were talking about this past weekend, and you know, my wife, she doesn't bring it up anymore, but when we first met and dating and all that good stuff, she'd always ask how I knew as much as I did about the game, and not even, you know, today, but the old game from the 80s and 90s. And I'm like, well, you know, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have any other source of information aside from the newspaper. And you were either a Sun-Times guy here in Chicago or a Tribune guy. My dad was a Sun-Times guy, I think, because it was, you know, 10 cents cheaper or whatever. But, you know, I only read two things. I read the comics first, and then I read every single box score about everything baseball. You know, so I knew a lot. And then, you know, growing up, you know, you and I have talked about this 1,000 times. You know, we were fortunate enough with the superstations. We had WGN, we had TBS, and I think my dad said it was WJO or something, the New York Mets station. So during the summertime, my dad slept till like 4, and we didn't have Cartoon Network. We didn't have all these 8,000 channels with, you know, 30 different channels for cartoons. WGN was the only cartoon channel, and your cartoons were preempted for Cubs games. So, you know, and my dad mentioned, and I don't know if you remember this, Big Jack, that Reinsdorf did a thing where you had to pay to watch the White Sox. So I probably would have watched them at night, but my dad didn't want to pay for it. Cause he's like, he grew up watching both teams, but he didn't see the sense in paying extra money to watch, you know, just for one team. And then, well, for the Bulls also, but you know, when it came time to watch the Bulls, I mean, I don't think I remember watching anything besides playoff basketball.
Yeah, you know, we always watched pretty much everything, you know, like we didn't pay for the White Sox games either. You know, that wasn't going to happen. We, I think we started watching them again when they, where the heck did they popped back up on
WFLD one day.
Yeah, well, there was a sports station. And for the life of me, I don't remember what it was called. I think it was actually just called Sports Channel. And it was Sports Channel Chicago. And one day they added it to our cable package. And voila, they covered the White Sox. And it was actually the first place I also ended up learning about Chicago indie wrestling. Because they had two shows on. They had a show called Windy City Wrestling, which is actually where I ended up starting. And then another show called Chicago Championship Wrestling. So it was just kind of like, oh, I didn't even know they did these things outside of the bigger names. But yeah, that's how we got the White Sox back. And then the Bulls were on there as well. You know, and then I think they actually ended up showing the away Blackhawk games. Because at the time, Old Man Wirt still owned the team. He wouldn't show the home games on TV. Because he honestly believed it was bad for attendance. So yeah, that's how I ended up getting back into the White Sox, because they were just, you know, even a little bit like today, you know, they bounced around from spot to spot. You know, I mean, it seems like they're a little luckier now because they're on WGN radio, so it's a little better known name. But, yeah, for years, I mean, like last year, I couldn't even tell you what station they were on. I don't think I knew and ever listened to a White Sox game while I was in the car last year, just because I didn't know what station they were on.
I couldn't. I would find it by chance.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just, you know, just one of those odd you know, odd situations with it. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, have to see if they can work that out, right?
Yeah, well, and I remember, you know, once the Blackhawks started winning, and, you know, my brother-in-law is one of those sour guys, oh, now that they're champions, everyone wants to be a fan and go to the games and drive up the ticket prices. When I used to go to the games, you know, my parents would get $10 tickets for all of us, and we'd basically sit in front row and get free hot dogs and hockey pucks and, you know, lose a couple teeth. But, you know, and I'm like, well, no offense, but that's because the city of Chicago didn't even really know that there was hockey unless you played hockey.
Yeah.
Until 2010, you know, until Junior put it on TV. It's like, oh, there's a hockey team? You know, because I remember there was a time when you could watch the Hawks away games on this crappy channel that was all kind of wavy and staticky, or you could watch the Chicago Wolves and with better quality TV production. Well, I guess I'll watch this team because this is better viewing for me.
But yeah, and you know, the Wolves are actually in the playoffs this year, too.
Hottest team since December. Before we run out of time, first ever, I believe it's the first ever expansion team to win a playoff series in a sweep.
Yes, in their first year, in their inaugural season.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you wrote about it. It's not like the Kings were just knocked out completely. But, I mean, I've been watching the recaps every morning. Oh, man, Marc-Andre Fleury, I mean, if they weren't able to get him on their team, do you have any doubt that they would not be in this position now?
No, well, you know, and that's, you know, most of the majority of playoff hockey is the team with the best goaltender wins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's been, you know, and the sad part is Jonathan Quick played fantastic and got outplayed by Fleury. You know, I mean, just bottom line. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those fun things. You know, that's part of hockey. I mean, what will be really interesting is to see, you know, if or when the NHL expands next, how they kind of handle that draft. Because, you know, this team was set up to win. And I'm kind of wondering how some of the teams that have been scuffling and struggling for all these years trying to put a winner together, you know, the Carolinas, you know, teams like that.
Tampa
feel
Bay.
About an expansion team walking in. Yeah, you know, an expansion team walking in and, you know, here we are. You know, we, you know, I think they had, was it the second most points in the conference behind Nashville? And now, you know, they're going to have playoff success. They're at least going to get into, you know, they're going to go to the second round. You know, who knows, you know, if they'll get out of there. It looks like they're going to play San Jose because they're up 3-0. So, yeah, I would like to know how some of those other owners feel with the success this team is having and if the NHL will make changes to the next expansion draft.
I'm sure it's doing great for, you know, hockey in Vegas. I wonder if everyone forgot that there's a Phoenix team.
Yeah, Arizona is still part of the NHL, people. So, you know. But, you know, like, I think it's cool. You know, I mean, I would love to see him get well, but. All right, well, Dan and I got to go. I'm going to get ticked off about something else. Shohei Ohtani's not pitching tonight. So I'll find something else to be upset about. But while we're gone, you know, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30. You know what to do while we're away. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Read the new blog that went up this morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. Dan and I would really appreciate you doing that. That Twitter feed is at SportsTimeRadio. You can jump on there and follow that if you'd like. That would be cool. Hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd like. We don't have a problem with that. As always, a big thanks for coming on and listening live. But don't forget, you can go over to TuneIn.com. Listen to the podcast anytime you want.
SportsTimeRadio.com. Let's go Capitals. Roll out.